Yo, hey, what's up? We are back for another episode of Dialogue Heavy with yours truly, Michael Anthony McMillan. I got a new story for you guys today. I'm very excited to say that this is not a short story, this is not a script, this is a full-blown novel. At least it will be by the end of these recordings. It's called God Bless the Girls. And it's a story that I've been working on since October. Today is December 30th, 2021. And I've spent 2 to 3 hours almost every single day writing this story in about 1,000 to 1,200 word increments. And I'm very excited. This is, just like all my things, the very first draft. So it may seem a little kooky and a little unbalanced and stuff at times, but I ask you to stick with me because I think this story is really, really, really good. I got the image of this story while sitting in the jacuzzi at the gym, where I saw a girl in the dark running with blood and glass in her hair, running down a dark street with forest on each side of her, and you can see the moon illuminating off of the ground under her, and she's running. And when you see the back of her running into the forest, the unseeing, unknowing forest, above it, all I saw was God Bless the Girls. So I listened to different things like Masterclass and stuff like that. And the gentleman named Walter Mosley, who is now a mentor of mine, say that, you know, you can be in front of a blank page, but, you know, if you're a writer, you just write. So I started to do that, and this is what I came up with. God Bless the Girls. At this moment right now, I've got about 103 pages, about 40,000 words or so, and it's feeling good and it's feeling strong. So you're going to follow this girl named Sarah Overcast into a litany of problems and issues, and it starts off right in the middle of it, right in the beginning. So I hope that you like it. I'm going to read it to you right now. I don't know how many pages I'm going to stop at, but when it feels good, we'll stop there and we'll continue going. So without further ado, I bring to you God Bless the Girls. And as always, everything that I've ever done on this podcast is written and recited only by me. So, Michael Anthony McMillan. So here we go. God Bless the Girls. What the hell happened? I thought. And why was my head throbbing? Jesus, why is it so dark? Last I remembered, I was at a greasy spoon trying to get some greasy food to scarf down after a fun but dramatic night of binge drinking. And, well, I didn't know where I was at. Mark! Mark! I yelled, hoping to hear a familiar voice, to see a familiar face, or anything for that matter. I could see nothing but blackness. I slowly picked myself up off of what was evidently not my bed, but concrete, and tried to search for a light switch of some kind when I heard thudding steps from above walking closer. A door creaked open from a distance in an upper level from me, and a faint light shined into wherever that place was, but I was too far from the light to make out who or what was up there. Mark? I said. Then there was a silence, and immediately a cold, creepy feeling crept up my spine to my neck. Shut up down there, I'll come down and shut you up! I heard a middle-aged country voice belt out. I was startled, to say the least, but still my body unconsciously moved towards the dim light when I felt something grip at my ankles. And when I tried to look down, I saw nothing but darkness. I knew what it was from the feel of it because my older brother was a correctional officer in training in his youth. And during his time in the academy, he loved to come home every night and shackle his poor little sister up and make her walk around our parents' house like his own little inmate. I panicked, but tried to keep my cool. Is Mark up there? I really need to talk to Mark, please. The shadowed person then walked down a couple steps until I can barely see up to his knees. He slammed something hard against the stair railing, and as soon as he did, amongst the darkness, I heard multiple bodies shift within the confines of the same type of chains I was in. I looked around to nothingness, but the hairs on my neck shot out so hard I swatted at them like I was trying to kill a mosquito. I said, "Shut up, you little bitch, or I'm gonna put a hurting on you. You won't soon forget." Well, I shut up after that. And after a bit of silence, the shadow walked back up the stairs and out the door and out the room and slammed the door. Well, as you might expect, not too much time passed before ultimate terror shot through my veins and body and tears started to roll down my face. I squinted as hard as I could and carefully tried to get the smallest inkling of where I was at, but still nothing was to be seen. "Hello?" I whispered. "Can somebody in here help me, please?" I sniffled and sniffled, and not a peep came out from anyone or anything. "My name is Sarah. Sarah Overcast. I live at 1507 Avery in Galveston." To the left, a chain moved in the slightest. I turned towards the sound of it. "Please help me," I pleaded. Another chain moved slightly, but closer than the first one, or at least that's how it sounded. "Please," I yelled. I heard what sounded like the beginnings of a murmur in the direction I was looking when someone to my right shhed the first sound. My eyes shot up to the blackness of the ceiling when I heard footsteps walking towards the top of the stairs. The sound stopped. Then after what seemed like an eternity, the creaks went back to which where it came. But this time, there was a thud and a squeaky sound like someone sat into a rocking chair. Then there was muffles of what sounded like a television set playing with a reporter of some kind speaking. Then all of a sudden the room, or whatever I was in, slowly and very quietly came alive. "Hey you, new girl." "Yes," I said. "Shh," multiple voices sounded, and I covered my mouth immediately, although no one could see it. "Where did you say you lived?" "On AP Street in Galveston." "Galveston?" a voice said. "Yes, Galveston's Texas." Then a few people on cue gasped, and again my hair stood up on my neck. "What?" I said. "We're not in Texas?" "Nobody knows where we're at," said another voice. "But we got girls in here from just about everywhere in the country." "What?" I thought. "That can't be true. 2 seconds ago, I was with Mark eating at a place a stone's throw away from my neighborhood where I spent my entire life, in a restaurant where I'm a regular at, surrounded by people in my town I've known since I was in diapers. I can't be that far from home." "No," I said aloud. "No." "No what?" said the same voice. "I was just at a party with Mark." "Yeah," said a voice cutting me off. "And I was at a sorority rush at Boston College. Susie here was at a business conference in Louisiana. And Terry? Shit. Terry was at a football game in California with her husband." As I heard those last words, my headache came back with a vengeance. And had I been in a lit room, it probably would have been spinning at that time. I never saw the floor coming, but it hurt all the same. Chapter 2. When I came to, the only light that was in the room came from what seemed like a floating flashlight that danced around my head. I couldn't quite make it out, but it had the sound of an angry voice coming out of it. It was muffled and distorted and sounded like it was coming from underwater. "Wake up." I finally heard the male voice say a bit more clearly, and all of a sudden all of my faculties came back to me at once. But all I can see was that blaring light directly in front of my face with pitch black behind it, and that voice. Had I heard that voice before? I kicked and flailed my arms with every ounce of energy I had, but I was pinned down good. And soon, with the first opening of my mouth, a sock or something of the sort was stuffed into it. Then, just as the light came into existence, it danced off. As I followed the light, with streaming hot tears of anger running down the sides of my face, I watched whoever this asshole was make his way up the stairs. But as he walked away, I saw these dirty blue and white runner shoes that I know I've seen before. I spit the sock out of my mouth, and as I lay there in the darkness, I tried retracing my last footsteps. I guess it would have been easier to do so had I not drank everyone at that party under the table before Mark and I decided to call it a night. It really shouldn't be humanly possible for a girl of my stature to drink as much as I had. See, I'm 5'7" and 130 pounds soaking wet, but the Overcast family has always been able to throw back a few, or more than a few. Mark, I believe, texted me about, 11 the morning of the incident to ask if I'd wanted to go to Josh's little basement party after the town's big foot race. I typically wouldn't even entertain the idea, but because I was in the race and I knew I would win it, I figured maybe I should take a breather for the night after my big win and enjoy the fruits of my labor. So I text him back that I would go, have a few drinks, then talk crap to anyone that might have doubted me and my ability to outrun anybody in said race, then go home, sleep it off, and get up the next morning, run some more, have breakfast, and continue on with my life. After the race, though, and the ceremony that claimed me champion, I went home and ate with my family. Then Mark picked me up at 8:37. I remember the exact time because I'd happened to be watching the local news to bask in my own glory and watch as all the other runners hyperventilated, finally passing the finish line as I had already been on my third post-run interview. That's when I heard Mark honk. Mark was a rich kid in this town. He used to getting everything that he wanted. His dad was deputy chief and his mother was the highest ranking realtor in the state of Texas 15 years running. So when he asked me out on a date 3 years prior, I told him I'd rather be friends. He wasn't at all happy about that. But his love for me allowed him to put his pride aside, I guess, and we remained close friends. On our way to the party, Mark stopped for cigarettes and booze at the local A&P. The fat store clerk with the mustard stain on his uniform shirt didn't even ask Mark for his ID. It is not because he didn't know our age. All three of us had just graduated from Claremont High School 3 months prior, but Mark's parents, being who they were in Galveston, nobody went out of their way to mess with him. At Josh's house. When we arrived at Josh's house, we talked a little about our future between shots of Jägermeister and beer bong hits. Mark was sad because I was leaving off to college in a couple weeks, but I assured him I'd be back every holiday. I didn't actually plan on doing that, but I couldn't tell him. I tried to finagle every girl in that party to talk to him, and there were a lot of takers, but in true Mark fashion, he told every one of them to beat it. Josh, the host, was the second reason why I decided to attend the basement party after being done with high school shenanigans. He was an easygoing hippie type with movie star looks, which I loved. Always the gentleman, and so chill that people always thought he was high, but in reality, he was a strict vegan who touched no drugs or alcohol. The kid was just high on life, I guess. I had a crush on him since the sixth grade, and I let him know then, but he turned me down. I never quite got over that. And it was my dream ever since then to at least make out with him before I left out into the big world. My plan that night was simple. I'd spike his sugar-free kombucha when he was in the bathroom and hang around until he loosened up, then make my move. But I had decided by the time we got to the party that I couldn't do that to Josh. He was too nice, too cute, and more importantly, too innocent for me to do that to him. Besides, I was the catch. If he wanted a piece of me, I'd be willing. But it would have to be fair and square. If not, I would approach him before the night's end. But I would definitely have to have a few drinks to garner up the courage to ask for my Cinderella princess ball kiss. "Hey, Josh," I called over to him as he went walking up the stairs for what felt like the 1,000th time that night. "Where are you going?" "Oh, just to get some more pretzels," he said. Perfect, I thought. This was the time. This was the time for Sarah Overcast to become a woman and take what she thought was hers. You need some help, I said. Justin had a smirk on his face that had a tiny little hint of pity behind it, but at that point, I can care less. I was going to get that kiss. But right then, Gerald, the roughest, toughest, and dumbest jock in our entire school, just had to put his two cents into the conversation. Yeah, Sarah wants to help you carry pretzels, Josh. After that, the only people in the basement who weren't laughing were the ones too drunk or stoned to have understood the big ogre. I pitched Josh my most seductive sweet girl smile, and to my luck, Josh did me a favor of at least not embarrassing me any further. Oh, shut up, Gerald, he said. Yeah, sure, Sarah. I'll grab some more grape sodas, too. Isn't he sweet? I threw up my hands for no reason, like when you're calling out to the peanut man at the baseball diamond. Handed my drink over to Mark and followed Josh upstairs. Once we were in the kitchen alone, I decided to make my move. I mean, he couldn't deny me now, right? I was a talk of the town for tonight. I was on the evening news, and the local papers were probably printing my face on the story as we spoke. Josh, I said, as I gazed at his beautiful plant-based backside. What's up, he said. Oh, Josh. Josh finished pouring the last of the pretzels into a bowl, then turned around to me, and I was right there in his face. My loose UCLA track sweater pulled just far enough to one side that he could see my gray lace Victoria's Secret bra. He leaned back. So, I said, I leave from school tomorrow. I leave from school soon. He looked at me puzzled by the statement. For school? What? I said as my fingers did the itsy bitsy spider's crawl up his beautiful broad shoulder. You mean you leave for school soon? He's so smart, I thought. That's what I said. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I know. Remember you told me at Steven's party the day that you got the acceptance letter. Oh, I said incredibly too loud, then laughed and snorted like a pig. I was staring at his chest now and my head felt 10 times heavier than it had 5 seconds ago, but I managed to pick my eyes up to his. You're so funny. So look, I'm going to be serious with you for a second, okay? I said. Josh actually looked afraid of me, but at this point I kind of like that. You know, I've always loved you, right? Yeah. I love you too, Sarah. And wham! I stared into those beautiful gray eyes and it felt as though I had been transported to another planet. The feeling that I felt at that moment might have been better than sex. I didn't know for sure. I hadn't had sex yet, but still. That's the only thing that he had to say to me, and he could have left it at that. He could have left off to college. I could have left off to college, never saw him again, and had the one that got away conversations as luncheons with girlfriends you see only once a month after you complain to them about your horrible husband. But no, Josh had to go and ruin it. You know, I mean, as a friend. And just like that, I went from cloud 9 to the depths of hell. I felt like someone rammed a knife into my stomach and twisted it. The pain was worse than all the hundreds and hundreds of miles I'd ever ran, all put together. All the falls, the shin splints, sore muscles, everything. None of that even began to compare to that gut-wrenching feeling. But in true Overcast fashion and my competitiveness, I couldn't let him know that. I never let anyone see me sweat, even in a race, especially in a race. I smiled the most fakest smile I could muster under the circumstances, gave Josh a handshake, which he thought was weird, and went back down to the basement. Once down there, I told Mark, we gotta go. Chapter 3. Sarah. Hey, Sarah, what's up, man? Mark said, staring at me opposite our table at Mama's Place, the local 24-hour diner that all the kids from school hung out at for just about any occasion. I stared at the salt shaker like it was the most magnificent creation on the planet. I was feeling a buzz in my head that I'd never felt before. And I'm not proud to say it, but I've been blacked. I'm not proud to say it, but I have blacked out before. This was entirely something different. "Have you ever loved someone that didn't love you back?" I asked Mark. Mark shrugged his shoulders while smashing his french fries into the ketchup on his plate. I don't know. And for whatever reason, that pissed me off. I took my spoon out of my strawberry milkshake and waved it in his face. "Bullshit! You can't not know the answer to that question. Either you've loved someone or you haven't, and they either loved you back or they didn't." Mark looked around at the rest of the restaurant, possibly looking for someone to get him out of the question. "So?" I said before Mark cut me off. "Yes, Sarah, all right? Yes." "Who?" I leaned in more intrigued. Then Mark looked at me like I was batshit crazy. "Forget about it, okay? Nobody." "No, no, no," I said right before I accidentally knocked over his cherry Coke into his lap. He shot up out of our booth like he was on fire. "What the fuck, Sarah?" He was trying to wipe the soda off of his white denim jeans, but there was no use. And for whatever reason, I thought that that was the funniest shit I'd ever seen. I laughed hysterically on my side of the booth, while some of the other townspeople watched their entertainment for the night. "That shit isn't funny," Mark said before he walked over to the counter to grab some more napkins. "Take it easy," I said in between giggles. "Your rich parents will buy you another pair." That's when Mark turned to me from the counter, along with Meryl, the owner's daughter who worked odd hours at the restaurant during the summers. Meryl looked shocked too, but Mark, he was past pissed. And that's when everything got really hazy. After that, I can only see in small snippets of time. One second, Mark was in front of me yelling and pointing his finger in my face. The next thing I saw was Mark's truck pulling out of the diner parking lot and steaming down the street. Then the last time I came to, I felt and then heard my own shoes dragging before my eyes were even opened. It was dark, but the light from the moon gave me some assistance. I can feel that I was being fireman carried through brush and trees. And whatever was under me was strong as an ox, because there seemed to be not an ounce of struggle on their part. My head was slumped over its right shoulder, and as I watched drool fall from my mouth uncontrollably to the ground, I saw. "That's it!" I yelled in the dark to hear the girl shush me again. We all collectively paused to hear if the upstairs creeper was coming, but nothing happened. "That's it," I whispered. "What? What? What's it?" voice number one said. "We are in Texas," the girls collectively gasped. "Bullshit. How do you know for sure?" "Because I know this guy. I know the guy that took me." And that's it, guys. That is chapter 3. That's chapters 1 through 3. And God bless the girl, excuse me. I think it's going to be a good story. I know it's a good story. And I hope that you guys think that it's a good story. So, man, I'm so happy to be back on here doing the podcast for you guys. And I hope you guys continue to listen. You know, you can always hit me up on my Instagram at Michael the Authenticator. The dialogue heavy one I haven't used in a while. But I'll check up on that if any of you guys write me. Thank you guys for even listening to, what was that one called? Murder on Laguna Beach. I know it was a little shaky and a little weird. I went through that recording only one time, and I don't know why I posted it. But, hey, we come over here and we live it. We come on here and we live and we learn. So I hope this story suffices more than that last one. I hope you like it. I hope you love it. And I hope you want to hear more from it. So I'm going to post this. You guys let me know what you think. Please, please, please continue to write, email, hit me up on Instagram. And I will continue to work on this. So let me know what you think. Until then, I will see you later. Thanks again for listening. And I'll holler at you, player. Talk to you later. Peace. I'm out of here.